Taste of Ireland with Visit Belfast. It's time to uncover Belfast, a city alive with arts, music, festivals and world-class attractions. Visit Belfast.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome to A Taste of Ireland this evening, coming to you from Belfast with our new Belfast Uncovered series. And I'm delighted to be joined this evening by Conor Owens from Belfast Hidden Tours. Conor, you're a director at Belfast Hidden Tours. You're also a football coach. You're into music. You have a cultural programme. You work with TV and film. There should be three people sitting in front of me here, but it's all in one man. Conor, yeah. Lovely to meet you.
It's a pleasure to meet you again, Ed, as always.
Just to give people an idea, Conor, of the writers that I would have experienced on the tour, just a few of the names that would be known.
Yeah, well, I think the one of the recent ones was a man called Colin Bateman. So Colin Bateman's recently done the production around the DeLorean film. So obviously there was a lot of films and TV productions. He also did The Journey, which was an interesting film between Martin McGuinness and Ian Paisley. It's a fictional story, and he'd done a screenplay. It's a class film with, I think it's Timothy Spall and Colm Meaden. And they're really good actors, really good story. In terms of literature as well, we would have had a lot of C.S. Lewis, obviously, came from the east of the city. And if you look at something like The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, there's a lot of inspiration he gets from actually his history in the city. So even the school that he went to was a boarding school, would have had a lonely lamppost sitting as you soon as you go into the grounds of the school. The church he went to had the lion knocker on the door, and he obviously went to a holiday in the Mourne Mountains, and that's where he got inspiration for Narnia itself. So there's a lot of history around literature, old history, but then also now we've got this new crime sort of genre coming through. They also have a Noir Ireland festival here. So as well as being Ulster Noir, there's Irish Noir. So there's also like it's a bigger sort of groupings of people who are writing more stuff about crime.
And it's very interesting, I suppose, things like The Fall, Line of Duty, you know, all filmed here in Belfast. I mean, massive, isn't it now?
Yeah, well, even if you look at something like Peaky Blinders and the first couple of series, Sam Neill is playing a Belfast cop and he's got that real strong Ulster accent. So I don't know if it's something to do maybe with our harsh accent and the harsh looks. Maybe we've got it inside us to be sort of in those roles around crime, around being detectives or baddies. Who knows?
Yeah, and in fact, very interesting. You were telling me as well about that other interesting movie. Of course, now Belfast massively in the limelight, under the spotlight, should I say. Kenneth Branagh's Belfast. But there was another movie, I Am Belfast, by a friend of yours, Mark Cousins, as well.
Yeah, well, Mark Cousins is... some people might remember him from the late 1990s. There was a programme on BBC Two called Moviedrome. And I think it was about 66 cult films that maybe a lot of people like myself as a young person never got to see. So there were films like Leon was in it and just classics films that maybe are that Le Haine, the French film.
And he would Vincent Cassel, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one, classic film. And he would have introduced the film and give a bit of an idea behind the psychology of the film. So to me, growing up, he was sort of like the movie expert. And then actually when I found out, because he's got a very strange accent, bit different to my accent anyway, I put it like that. And he was like who I would have seen as an expert in movies. And then he did a film in 2017 called I Am Belfast. I've only seen it once, but there's still scenes that sit with me. And I think I mentioned to you that it's not well known. I think in terms of actually if you looked and reviewed it online, there's 100% in Rotten Tomatoes.
Nobody's watched it.
Nobody, well, they have to give you the Belfast butt. So there's always, you can't get any praise in Belfast with a wee bit of a Belfast butt.
Yeah.
But there's only 17 reviews. But the fact that there's 17 people who refuse it and give it 100% tells you that it's a classic film.
And what, I mean, just in a trailer kind of nutshell, what's it sort of about?
From my memory, it was like a dream-like experience of Belfast. And I always, when I watched it, I had this here feeling of Belfast being like a woman's spirit, and it was quite tough. So it might have started off a lot of landscapes around the rivers and the mountains of Belfast and sort of giving you a really outlook of it. and then it delves in. It's more like a documentary.
Yeah.
But it's pieced together like a story. But it was very dreamlike. It was very abstract.
Arty.
Well, I'm trying my best to say abstract. It's very arty farty, let's put it that way. But that's not to take that away from it. Yeah, just if someone was coming in expecting to see the new Belfast film and seeing that, they would have to have a different mindset going in. Mm. There's one scene in particular I always remember, and I think it's at Chippy near the North Street area of the city, which is underdeveloped and getting redeveloped. It was an old coffee shop, and as far as I know, it was two older women, and their language, just put it away, was very colourful, and the topic they were talking about was very rude, and it was just, it stuck with me that it was quite, I wouldn't even say nostalgic, it was just quite nice to see and relate to.
Yeah. Like, and you're sitting on the top of a bus or something.
Exactly. You know, like, you're people watching or you're listening in and you're going, do you know what? I was laughing at their conversations, and it could have been anyone sitting anywhere, but it was a character I had. And again, the character of the city, the way I always say it is Belfast is very, it's resurgent. It always goes through troubles and then it gets back again. And I think he really does that in the film Justice. So he does that in the justice around the film and how it's produced. So he would be brilliant to find out what actually he thinks about the missing
film.
Yeah,
very interesting. And but from your own, I mean, quite an expert yourself, a good critic. What did you think of Belfast yourself? The new one.
Well, I seen the new one, and I would give it an 8.5 out of 10. My feeling was it hit a lot of notes nostalgic of me. If I looked at it from a point of view, which some people in the city will, from a certain generation, maybe a certain background, will sort of pick holes in it. And I think that's very unfair. I think when you look at the film in the context of how it's been produced, we shouldn't be looking at it as a historical documentary. It's a representation of how people left this city and why they left the city and how they still love the city. And again, I think he'd done that well. He's obviously, Kenneth Branagh has obviously left at a very young age, but Belfast, as you hear, has really impacted him. And QFT, where I've seen it in maybe the first week, there was a lovely maybe 10-minute video about Kenneth Branagh's connection to the QFT, the Queen Film Theatre. And at the end, and you know, this area, you've been
well,
this
in
area.
Fact, I saw Belfast at the Queen Film Theatre, yeah. Right here in the Queen's area. And I thought I was going into someone's house. And there's a massive cinema inside, yeah. And a lovely little coffee area. We did a little that.
Yeah.
I was a very cool place.
Yeah.
Bit like the IFI in Dublin, I suppose.
Yeah, it'd be very similar. I think it was 1968. It was, I don't want to divulge into that. We'll go back to the film. I might go back to that later. The film was interesting because they were in the South Belfast, which is a leafy suburb area of Belfast. As soon as the film was over, I turned around my brother and I said, we can see this. And everybody started clapping. It doesn't really happen in the cinema. And I thought it was lovely. And I looked at my brother and goes, go for it. And he gave a big, yeah. And then they all started laughing. Because my brother knew that wasn't the place to do a big Belfast show, but he did it. So it sort of added to it.
Yeah.
Added to that experience. Yeah. So it did.
But it was a very feel-good movie, wasn't it? A lot of people up here were saying to us, I suppose that used all adage like Marmite. It was, some people either loved it or hated it. But, and I know Judy Dench got a lot of interesting comments about, I wasn't sure where she was from, right? But like, yeah, I think the character came across anyway.
Character was brilliant. It's in terms of her accent, it has improved a bit from the Artemis Fowl film that Disney did.
Fowl.
It was the film. But back to Judy Dench's character, I think, her and Ciarán Hinds did an absolute fantastic role of representing the city.
Even
you see them in the yard and the woman, she's in the back and I think she's probably doing ironing or something, you know, and then he's in the yard, I don't know, he's talking to the kid.
Yeah.
And she's hearing everything's going on and then she has the last word. And that represents to me sort of the role of a household. I always remember wherever I went and whatever role my father had, or my grandfather, when he went into the house, it was my mum or my granny was in charge. And that's the way I've sort of been brought up. So to find those two characters, that's what I connected with, was the two grandparents in particular. Their characters represent the old generation, not just the Belfast, but older ways.
Yeah. And even Ciarán Hinds, of course, I mean, he's superb. Everything he does, Kin was his latest one, and they filmed down in Dublin as well. But he really did. I mean, and we grew up with that, I suppose, as well. The grandparents, I mean, I think I was reared by my grannies on both sides, up and down from both parts of Cork, you know, so that was played a huge role. And I think that's something that resonated, I suppose, from people all over Ireland, really, not just from Belfast, because there was a big thing. wasn't it? You mean there was no babysitters then? It was your granny. Yeah. That was it.
You went around once a week, then you met your cousins. And
yeah. So it had that feel good factor, didn't it?
Yeah. I was just waiting for. I had an incident with my granny before with a wooden spoon, and I was just waiting for her, you know, to get angry and take out a wooden spoon. It was that local. Do you know what I mean? That's what I thought well. And even the setting, I'm not too sure where the set, but it was done so well. Kenneth Branagh's from the same area I'm from.
Yeah.
So when they did a shot from maybe the school, it looked like the local park, Alexander Park and the Grove Park, which is a couple of hundred yards away from me. That's where he grew up. And again, I suppose that's why it connected with me as well, was I live away from the limestone area. And when you go down, you see that old red brick terraced houses, the working class, the mills. That's what a lot of people who were in Belfast were, just working class people. And then when the troubles happened, it turned their lives upside down. So I think when people are looking at it from a certain background and generation, Belfast, who've had more trouble past, maybe that's where you'll get a wee bit of the negative comments about it being unrealistic. And and I think it's probably just a testament of where we are in history, that we have this programmes going around the world.
Yeah, and it's amazing, isn't it, Connor, how now people are flooding back here. You know, it's almost like the whole wheel has turned.
Two of my aunties are coming home this year.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?
Canada for 30 years and maybe Australia for about 30 years, both of them. They're coming back now and they're coming back to live.
So. Yeah. No, it's great to see that. And I mean, as I said, it was a great expo, really, or a great sort of exposition of that from the young kids' point of view, really, I think, you know. But and when you take it from that point of view, I think it was definitely a class movie.
And I think, again, the direction of the film as well, when it comes down to the scene that everyone sort of was kicking off, I knew they would have, was when there's a standoff point.
Yes.
And again, when I look back on that now and I see how controversial that is, I was like, maybe that's something that he maybe put in there, not to wind them up, to get people thinking. Because if you look at it as a film, the kid that was watching it would have seen it like a Western. So a lot of kids who were six when the troubles broke out, they were the ones going on watching the soldiers in the corner of the street pretending to be the soldiers and running after them. Like anybody in any world, if you're six or seven, and you would end up seeing war going all around you, you don't understand it.
Yeah, of course.
So I think that's that point in some part of the film. It's a kid's portrayal of that time.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and so it's so justly deserving of all the awards that it has received as well. Terrific. Mm-hmm. Listen, that brings us along to your choice of music. Connor, what have you picked for us tonight for your first choice of music?
I think I'm going to go with David Bowie, Rebel Rebel. So David Bowie, it's one of my favourite
Cork systems. People will love this.
Well, that's a sort of picked up Rebel Rebel. And then obviously we were the Boston of the North. We were rebels up here. The 1792, the United Irishmen, when it was formed, or 1791, was in Belfast. And it was Protestants as well. So it sort of turns that up its head that we're rebels, all of us.
Taste of Ireland with Visit Belfast. It's time to uncover Belfast, a city alive with arts, music, festivals and world-class attractions. Visit Belfast.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine 106.8. Sunshine 106.8.
And you're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland, coming to you this evening from Belfast with my special guest Connor Owens. Belfast Hidden Tours, very interesting concept. Where did you get the idea for that?
It came from a few different ideas. The first one, I was working with artists in the city, some famous enough artists, photographers, and I seen that it was a different side of the city. It was about 10 years ago. And then I noticed that a lot of the tourism was the black taxis or else the red buses. And I just went, you know what, if I was coming to Belfast, I'd be very disappointed that there wasn't someone showing me the hidden streets, the real stories, the real people. So that's how I started the walking tour. And then from then, I just kept creating and working with different people and collaborating. So we're on the right track. And then I also, importantly, I went into McHugh's for one of the artists to take a photo of one of their art pieces. And that day there was a cruise in, and I think the manager told me how much money was involved, and I went, I'm getting into that.
That's interesting. I mean, and of course, what's great is you were telling me there yesterday that the cruises are all back again.
Yes, and it's good for the local tourism that we're going to get a lot more highlight of what we're doing. And it might only be certain companies might be only coming into the city and beyond, but the fact is that there hopefully will get more and more cruises coming in.
Yeah. I mean, it's incredible. And like even the area where we are now, like the Queen's area here, it's very nice. Being Queen's University, of course, you could do 4 programmes about that and the all the work they do for cancer research. Somebody was telling me, there's a professor there. He's one of the top oncologists professors, and he also does a stand-up James Joyce show. And it's amazing the characters that you meet up here. And you were talking about your hidden tours. Uh-huh. What different offerings do you have? I mean, we know that if someone hasn't been here, the Titanic, you have all the great stuff to do. But I mean, you can find hidden parts of that as well, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. There's hidden history everywhere in the world, or there's hidden stories. So if you wanted to do the Peace Wall stuff, we would look at it a bit different. We would have Belfast Beyond Walls, and we would put a lot of emphasis on what the communities are doing since the Peace Walls have went up and the situation of maybe trying to get them down. So it's not really... We don't really look at everything as black and white. We try to give you as much colour and as much information, as much people that represent the city and the bespoke product we'll be looking at. Whiskey. Whiskey's the most popular tour that we have at the moment. Belfast was the biggest whiskey producer in the world. And in Ireland, 75% of whiskey produced in 1900 was being produced in Belfast.
That's amazing. I thought it was just linen.
No. We had the biggest rope works as well, you know, and the biggest...
I thought it was just ships and linen.
No, all that hard work. We needed our faces. So we had the whiskey and the tobacco, the biggest in the world.
Belfast. Very interesting, yeah.
Yeah, Gallagher's. So that's what we like. We like to delve into the history.
And on the whiskey tour, because a lot of people, I mean, obviously would love their whiskey. I mean, how many whiskeys would you taste now on the tour, and what samplings would you have?
The last 2 years we've sort of been changing it, and it will probably finalise in the next 2 months. But at the moment we would do samples at the Friend at Hand, which is the only all-Irish whiskey shop. We go into the Dark Horse, which you would have recently seen. It's a fantastic place.
Phenomenal. That place is unique, amazing.
Yeah, it's Aladdin's Cave of street art, and it's sort of exclusive. So we go there for an Irish coffee, and then we do a bit of a walk. The new whiskey tour guide's doing a tour this Saturday, and she's introducing a whiskey cocktail. And then we would go to usually finish, or we'll do a bit in Madden's for a Guinness and a Chaser. And we do sometimes have tastings as well, so a bit of everything.
Yeah, I saw there was like 3 different, in the space of an hour and a half, sitting in the dark having a coffee, there was 3 international film crews came and went. Argentina, there was a Japanese. I was like, wow, it's really happening here.
Yeah, no, it's real. It's a hidden gem as well. And I think that's probably the beauty of it, is unfortunately they want more business probably coming in. But if you're bringing someone in and it's not chock-block like Temple Bar, and you're going in, you're getting that special one-to-one service from the people that work there who really care about the area. That's what Belfast is about.
You were saying about the film theatre there being open in 1968, sorry. Mm-hmm. That was very interesting. From your point of view, is that a growing business in terms of, you know, film companies? Of course, we know HBO came here for Game of Thrones and they were just wowed by the whole place.
Well, think of the infrastructure that we had here, even nearby the Lyric Theatre, was... opened in where it is now in 1968. You had Queen's Film Theatre, and then you would have had a massive start of the student movement around the world where young people started finding their voice. And I always connect the 1969 civil rights to the opening of the film theatre. And funny enough, a lot of those characters were involved with the civil rights in Belfast. We're all doing it from Queens. So I always wondered, was the popularity of TV that helped spread the movement of the civil rights, and film and obviously theatre and stuff like that connects with people and tells the story. And I think that's part of the whole story of Belfast. Was I looked at the dates, like the date of 1987 is when NI Screen opened up, and we had 1988 peace agreement, and then you'll find around 2000 there's a lot of cultural movements, but the infrastructure there was for things to pick up as soon as peace came. And NI Screen has to be a big player and playing a part of the new Belfast, Northern Ireland and its future. And investment-wise, the work they did with HBO to bring in Game of Thrones, it's a legacy that will last forever. What I found interesting was the Southern Irish government who had done the tax breaks on films in the 1970s, and it was Barry Lyndon, that was Stanley Kubrick's films, was the first one. And as far as I know, Barry Lyndon, they used a lot of the old big houses. Maybe, I don't know if it was in the north or in the south, I think maybe more in the south. And it opened up this idea that we can use our landscape and our buildings to do films. So I think with the Southern government and the agencies doing that in the north, we've sort of followed suit. But I think with even Braveheart was all filmed in, I don't know what county it was, but it's not filmed in Scotland, it's filmed in Ireland.
Yeah, that's right, uh-huh. Yeah, it, absolutely.
So all that investment from that film and that production came in because of the tax breaks and trying to get people to come here.
Yeah, but I mean, resulting from the peace process, I mean, that really did work, didn't it? The way that it transformed everything. I mean, we were chatting to Steve from the Belfast Giants the other day, and I mean, the amount of things that came into Belfast as a result of it, the minute that was signed, it just opened up a whole new world of opportunity, didn't it?
And like 20 years ago, I was 18, so I was roughly 18, not going no way, but it was roughly that age. I didn't see it happening, and then it's not until maybe now that maybe take a wee step back and you think about all that work that was done and people taking a chance of hope. You know, let's hope something's going to work. And you had the Belfast Giants, you had the Titanic Centre being created, you had screen or the NI Screens, you know, you had a lot of things happening, Cathedral Quarter. Arts festivals, festivals everywhere. There's festivals already, the West Belfast Fela Festival. We had infrastructure, we had the sort of need to showcase our arts. I think that's what's happened in the last 20 years is we've started getting the infrastructure to do that.
Yeah, and of course, I mean, you're talking there about when you were 18-year-olds I met the other day down in the Duke of York had, like, they didn't hardly know what the peace process was.
No, it's complete different.
It's so nice to see, I suppose. They're just like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, they're just wanting to take their Instagram shots down at those places. Yeah,
and funny as well, like the level of students here. I mean, I suppose to use the word erudite, but I was chatting to a few of the professors when I was on a tour the other day in Queens, and they were saying that they've worked in Manchester and different places. The students here were very clever.
Yeah. Oh, that would be the Belfast sort of ways.
It's the water.
But even the people coming in from different countries around the world, like, they would take the Belfast, and a lot of them hopefully will stay. Mm. We do a wee bit of work with Queen's University with their staff who sell Queens around the world. They absolutely love this place. I had a group out last week. She was from the North America representative. And she's loved it within 3 days. She wants to move here. So you know what it's like. You know, as soon as you get here, she says, actually, wouldn't mind having a wee place here to stay. And
but it's just the most beautiful building. I mean, it is just, I mean, in all of Ireland, I mean, you look around and you see buildings. It is just stunning.
Well, if someone asked me my favourite places in Belfast, it's the Dark Horse Courtyard. And the second one is in the Queen's Quadrant. It's just sitting there on a nice day with the trees and just the building and the
magnolias. Bricks. I mean, there was the magnolias. I didn't realise there was so many. Someone planted a lot of magnolias here a good few years ago, but they're beautiful now at the moment.
And the ancient trees that are sitting there, and who's walked past them. So
stunning.
It's great. It's great to see Queen's getting its fair share of people coming up. You do know the numbers and the students at the moment. I think with University of Ulster moving to the north of the city centre, I think it's around 36,000 to 38,000 students. But Belfast's population is about 360,000. So you're talking over 10% of our population is young people. So again, if we're going to have a vibrant arts, film scenes and cultural scene, it's these young people coming in who are going to benefit from it, but also add to it.
Yeah, of course.
So potentially we have even more superstars and people so creative that are only in the process of finding that journey. So
loads of young Jamie Dornans coming up, huh? That brings us along nicely, Conor, to your second choice of music this evening. What have you picked for us?
So I've went for Shed 7, Chasing Rainbows.
A taste of Ireland with Visit Belfast. It's time to uncover Belfast, a city alive with arts, music, festivals and world-class attractions. Visit Belfast.com.
On Dublin's easy place to relax.
Sunshine. 106.8 Sunshine. 106.8
And you're very welcome back to A Taste of Ireland. I'm really enjoying my chat this evening with Conor Owens and uncovering Conor's Belfast. Really interesting stuff, Conor. You're going to give us some more interesting information now about what we would call, I suppose, the undiscovered or hidden Belfast.
The hidden history. That's what I'm sort of specialised in. And then this would have came from during COVID. I would have done a bit more research of my local area. And I found out that I think John Luke, who's a famous artist, were in William Connor and room and nearby. And the artists are quite important. They lived in the area I was living in. And then when I did a bit more research, there was a famous Irish female writer that lived around the corner from me called Margaret Prender. And when I seen the research or photos, some people might have the book of Ireland in Colour really good photo book at the moment, and it's a lady in a sort of a very elegant purple dress. Some people might recognise that picture in their head. That's the lady, and she was an Ulster fiction writer, and her book was called O'Neill of the Glen. And it was 1889, it was written, and then they put it into the first ever Irish feature film in 1916.
Wow.
And I have to look at the history a wee bit more, but it looked like the film itself, the production was burnt in the fire of the Easter Rising.
Wow.
So even though it was finished after 3 months' work, and I think they had to go do it again, and then it was released as well. She was a school teacher. And then also, I also found out that she also wrote a poem that was called The Irish at Gallipoli. Gallipoli, they say that, right?
Yeah.
And I also have a link to Gallipoli where, as far as I know, my great-grandfather lost half an arm at there. So it's interesting that the place I live in, two streets away, is this famous Irish writer people didn't know about.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I spent a good bit of time travelling around Turkey, actually. And I did that from Istanbul all the way down to Izmir and Kuzdas. Yeah. And I did that whole Anzac tour of Gallipoli. And, wow, I mean, the trenches and what went on there between the different forces. But it was fascinating stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit of history Gallipoli, I'd like to get into myself. But it's
interesting. Huge tours. Like they do massive business there with the people booking those three-day tours.
It's 2 to 3 day trekking.
Yeah.
Like just walking it.
Yeah. I mean, it's well, you have a bus, like you get the bus along.
But you're not getting shot at.
So no, you're not. But it's amazing. So
compared to what people went through.
And when you go and you see all the graves, what's really stands out at you, when you're in Turkey, obviously, all these Irish names, English names, Irish names, but like massive amounts, of course, that had emigrated, that had been sent off to New Zealand and Australia. And again, tying back in here to Belfast.
Yeah. Again, we have a real connection here with wars, so not just our own sort of recent troubles. Before that, obviously, with the First and Second War, we would have had a lot of men and women that would have fought in those wars. One of the interesting directors people don't know as well is a guy called Brian Desmond Hirst, and he would have been linked with John Ford. So John Ford is the famous Western stroke war film director. And he was a mentor for probably the Northern Ireland's best ever film director. He was from East Belfast. He was very flamboyant, he was very well off. I watched a programme with John Ford talking about him. I think it was a director's programme, so it was like, I know that name. And then I went and did more research. Brian Desmond's nephew, Alan Smith, randomly got in touch with me about 2 years ago and sent me a book on him and says, can you start telling more people about my uncle's story? And I just thought that was lovely that there was a person there fighting for his uncle to be more widely known. And if you have someone like John Ford, who's such a famous director, was his mentor, then obviously he was good. I'm trying to think what famous films he did. He was a brief cameo in Ford's film, one of Ford's early films with John Wayne. So he was in the industry. I think he helped someone with a production in Ireland. Oh, The Quiet Man.
Yeah, and A Christmas Carol, maybe, was that?
Christmas Carol was his famous one.
Yeah,
so that was famous. 1951, that was his famous one. He was a man that was very well known in the industry. And again, it's one of those ones maybe forgotten about. So
wow, amazing. And Hirst, of course, a very interesting name as well.
Yeah. So you have Hirst, motor racing, was it Hirst?
Yeah. And Odd Man Out, then, that was one you were talking to me about as well earlier.
Yeah, so Odd Man Out would be a good part of our Belfast Noir tour with Simon Maltman. So we would do a stop at the Crown Bar in Belfast, the Crown Bar opposite Europa. A lot of people in Belfast know that.
Yeah, the Europa, in fact, which is celebrating 50 years this year.
Fantastic.
Was it last year? 50 years, Julie and Howard there. Uh-huh. And it's interesting. I mean, they made a great documentary, Bullets, Bombs, and what was it again? And Business as Usual or something. It was went out on television about 10 years ago, but about the Penthouse Poppets.
They had a brand programme and they had their general manager. And it was a great bit of TV. If it's the same programme I'm thinking about,
it
was really good.
It was wonderful.
The Hastings, again, there's another family dynasty that have been in business for a long time, and they're leaders of hospitality here. But they would have put their neck across the line during the 70s and 80s and 90s and building up their own business empire, and it's good to see them.
Yeah, I know. If anyone wants to watch that, I would check that out. I think it's on YouTube. But, I mean, that was a fabulous one. And that new one here as well, the Grand Central, of course, which is sort of redolent of a big American sort of skyscraper hotel. Be amazing. And it's got the highest cocktail bar in Ireland or something.
Yeah, it's
you can look right into City Hall, which is beautiful.
Best view. And even the old Grand Central itself, far as I remember, it gets its name from the Grand Central Station.
That's
in
right.
New York, because they had the exact same clock.
Yes, that's correct. Yeah, and then the one that was here was in another location, of course, in Belfast. Yeah,
so I would love to see that clock being reinstated somewhere, maybe in a Hastings hotel.
Yeah, yeah. Well, there's time yet.
There's
plenty of time. Anyway, listen. What's the future now up here? I mean, you've seen remarkable change, Conor. I mean, like it's amazing the vibrancy here when you're walking around. I mean, we've talked, I suppose, a lot about the amazing food scene, the music scene. The storytelling you were telling me the other day, you were doing storytelling courses. I mean, it seems like bursting at the seams with creativity up here. It's like if you're into any of that sort of stuff, this is where you should be.
I think it's going through different bursts, and you keep on thinking it's going to die down, and it just gets more and more. It's a momentum that keeps building. I think with the Troubles, when that stopped, there was a big outburst of people wanting to express themselves through arts and traditional arts, and then people are starting to see it as a viable option. So instead of people wanting to be a YouTuber and Instagrammer now, people are maybe looking at local people who are actors or musicians. We work with storytellers, Irish dancers, anything to do with traditional arts. Personally, when I was starting to do tourism about 7 years ago, the way I looked at it was, if North Americans were coming to Belfast, they didn't understand the border. So if they didn't understand the border, they're going to want to know Irish stuff. And to me, I decided, well, I thought we'll get the Irish traditional arts, the Irish dancing, the music, the storytelling, and try to bring that to the people. And it seemed to work. And from working with those people, you see how passionate and how professional they are.
Just in terms of your own hobbies, you also like to coach football. You coach a football team as well in your I should going to use the word spare time, but
it's not such thing as spare time. It's just time. You get things done.
And do you love soccer?
I love soccer, and yeah. I suppose that's my. I've recently started playing a wee bit again when I have time. But I do coach once a week with a team that I'll learn differently. So I've got like a wee football team I've been doing for 5 years, and I just love it. So.
Brilliant. And you also have this lovely music kind of cultural show that you're involved with.
Yeah, the Belfast Story was one of the first products we created, and it was trying to tie in an idea around of a pub tour, finishing up with a story around Belfast using the traditional arts. And when it did that, people loved that traditional arts. Not to say they don't love the drink, but there was such a want for this product that this became our probably premier product. It's a Belfast Story. We've done it in places like Europa, Titanic, all the iconic places. And it's a way of giving visitors and even locals something to be happy and expressive about. So song-wise, it'll be like the Belfast Mills. It'll be obviously Tell Me Ma. Mm. And again, a lot of people go, what political? I say, it's not political. It doesn't have to always be political, do you know?
Yeah.
If you want to construe something as being political, then go ahead. If you're in with us for an hour with these world-class performers, it's about celebrating the stories, the people, and the songs of our city. And we're lucky we have Go Lassie Go is a song that was written by a Belfast man that's sung by Joan Baez and Bob Dylan. And we have Americans, they love that song. Isle of Hope as well, we can play that and talk about the migration story. So there's stuff that we can do with songs that connects with people. So it's a real pleasure to work with the performers. And
I mean, we've talked a lot over the few weeks we've been doing this Uncovered series, like Ruby Murray, Van Morrison, mm-hmm. Snow Patrol, and then this fantastic Belfast Award of the UNESCO City of Music, only the third one in the UK out of 59 in the world. That was just very special as well, wasn't it?
Really special. And I think the bar I was doing a job in, the cruises last week, we had Sean McKernan, who's a famous photographer, coming up and taking photos of our group. All his photos are on the wall of Ed Sheeran and Brad Pitt, and these people, famous people, come to Cali's. That's where they want to go. And then Jerry Jawbox, who does obviously the gin, he's downstairs. He decides to come up and serve these VIP guests his own gin. And I was just waiting for Jimmy Riley, who's the old punk drummer Stiff Little Fingers.
Yeah.
He drinks in there, and he's like, if you haven't met him, if you come to Belfast, he's Belfast's coolest cat. He's still got it. He's still got the jackets on and the hair. And people just love that type of character, Terry Hooley. You know, there's people in the city who are very down to earth, but they're very talented. So in terms of music, it just works, from punk music to dance music. I have my own history. My great-uncle was a guy called Brian Rossi, and his picture's in the OEA Centre. He's a guy, he's first skinhead in Belfast, apparently. First guy I bought.
Totally flowers. Opposite to yourself.
Yeah, I'm doing him a favour. He's saying, let's keep the hair growing. Like, and bring him back to 70s vibe. But he, Val Morrison's first band, as far as I know, was with his band at an early stage. And then my uncle sang Gloria, great uncle, sang Gloria on Columbia Records.
Wow.
So again, for American tourists, I, like, I can pull out a picture and... It's not a new way I sent her, because I don't think Van Morrison would like that story being told. So if Van Morrison's listening, you know where I am.
Yeah, that's brilliant. And I mean, was it a no-brainer? I mean, when you saw the way things were going here, I suppose, you saw obviously a huge opportunity for the whole tourism here, in terms of just music tourism, set jetting. So, I mean, it's a really good business here now, isn't it?
Unbelievable, the way it's went. I didn't think it would be opening up as many doors. I'm a very collaborative, sort of proactive person, so I've been very lucky. I've had these chances to create and work with people. And someone who's a business person might go, well, you need to settle down and just sell that. And I was going, but this is not the ethos of what we are about. Like, Belfast has a punk ethos, is get things done, do it,
yeah,
and see what happens. So I'm really excited about the future. So sometimes you can sit and you go, that was really good, and your man's doing something good, but I'm more excited about what's next.
Yeah.
So Belfast Experience Centre, that's going to be going down to the north of the city, I'm hoping we'll have a lot of stuff to do with the music and with the culture.
Yeah, brilliant. And of course, you have the oldest arts festival, the Ulster, the Belfast International Arts Festival with Richard Wakeley and the gang there. Mm-hmm. That's the oldest arts festival in Europe in the world or something.
No, it's fantastic.
That's a great one, isn't it?
Yeah, and the Queen's Arts Festival and the Film Festival. And yeah.
Every week there's a festival.
Every week, generally from, I think you're talking maybe from March to about October.
Brilliant.
I used to always find, it was like, there's another festival. You've got too much options.
In a nutshell, Conor, and it's been a great pleasure to chat to you and for you to uncover your Belfast for us this evening. In a nutshell, I suppose, if you were to say to people your top five things, and you don't have to be mainstream, but what would you say don't miss?
Food, I would go to John Long's for fish and chip. He uses the old beef lard drippings, so it's a traditional way of chips, best chippy, loads of salt and vinegar on that. Get a wee bit of Ruby Murray curry, because she lived around the corner as well, if you want. Second thing I would do, I would visit the Ulster Museum and the Botanic Gardens and Queen's University. Maybe take a couple of hours, walk around there. Maybe go up to where I'm from, up north Belfast, up the top of Cave Hill. I would definitely go to the Dark Horse, the See There Yard, and have a wee coffee, visit the whiskey shop. And then importantly, go to a couple of bars and get the Guinness and the whiskies in, and maybe Madden's, Kelly's, Sunflower. A lot of pubs you can go to.
Brilliant. Well, look, there's great free advice now. Yeah. An insider track. It's wonderful. That sounds like a good few. I think I need a week to do all that, Conor.
No. If you're with me, you can do it in a day. I'm quick.
Good man. I'd like to take my time doing all of that. Sounds fantastic. Well, listen, again, thanks a million for joining us this evening. And thanks for, as I said, uncovering a really interesting side of this city. What have you picked, Conor, for your final piece of music for us this evening?
Well, it's a song that's probably been in a couple of Tourism Ireland adverts, put it that way. I forgot about that. But it's the first album I bought was M People and Cranberries. So I'm going to pick Cranberries' Dreams, because you're never too old to give up on your dreams.